Welcome to For Good, Central Indiana Community Foundation's podcast highlighting stories about passion, purpose, and progress in Central Indiana. At CICF, we believe in opportunity and equity. We believe that our communities and neighborhoods are stronger because of our diversity. And we believe that with innovation and boldness, Central Indiana can be a place where everyone can reach their full potential, no matter their place, race, or identity. This is our community, and these are your stories.
It began as a streetcar suburb. In Indianapolis's Northwest Riverside neighborhood, stores clustered at its busiest corners. American foursquares and bungalows still grace tree-lined streets.
If you're on Clifton, if you're on Riverside, if you're on Boulevard, they all have a particular flavor, but there's also a strand, a thread that makes you feel like it's all one neighborhood.
The construction of I-65 brought change. Instead of traveling through the neighborhood, the public began traveling over it, overlooking the nearly 7,500 people who live and work here.
This is an area that's experienced chronic disinvestment, the result of institutional racism. There's a high rate of incarceration of reentry folks. The annual income for a family is well below the median. So a lot of people wanting to live in a place that's great and life-enhancing just like anybody else, but having a lot of barriers to get there.
In the Northwest Riverside neighborhood, Diamon Harges is known as the roving listener.
One of the things that we know, we need each other, right? And so we have to practice that. And so the best thing we know is about gifts and assets. So people share things.
Harges is also one of 36 ambassadors recruited to help the Central Indiana Community Foundation better understand the opportunities and challenges in this neighborhood and throughout Central Indiana.
What I was born doing is being curious about people that live on the margins, because I grew up on those margins, of a lot of those margins that don't have a high school diploma. I struggle with depression. It cripples me, right? But I'm in a lot of places, and I'm in those places because somebody saw something. And so my practice is to go and look and find people's gifts and talents.
Harges has found artists and storytellers, a stay-at-home dad who teaches chess to neighborhood children, a thriving community of gardeners, each one devoted to the neighborhood.
I realized one thing, the role of an institution is to shine the light on what's already going on in the community.
Through his community interviews as CICF ambassador, Diamon found a strong sense of pride and collaboration, especially around initiatives that tackle barriers to success for disengaged young people.
Is that my feeling this morning?
It's 10 a.m. on a Wednesday, and about a dozen young adults, ages 18 to 27, have just arrived for work at Groundwork Indy.
So let's go around, check in, and then do a quote for the day.
They gather for a morning meeting before setting out to work on revitalization projects in the neighborhood.
In a situation where the adults around you are concerned about survival, there's sometimes not the bandwidth to give kids the positive attention they need. We can give them the attention they deserve and validate where they're coming from. When you get that, it feels really good.
Phyllis Boyd is the executive director of Groundwork Indy. She hires and trains young people for the often strenuous work, a tactic that impacts both the community and the individuals. Luke Hazelton.
Phyllis could have easily got people that was qualified for the job. She wanted to see people that was from the neighborhood, that was in the environment, actually make the change in the neighborhood.
Brandon Baker sees it too.
What I realize is the really small stuff that we do actually makes a big difference. So like, yeah, cleaning out like gutters or like the stuff that we think is like so unimportant. It's like so many of us doing that it actually makes a huge impact. What I'll see is when we put everything up and we finish the day and I'm walking back home, random people will come out of their house and start cleaning up.
Today, weather keeps the team inside to work on a hydroponics unit.
What happens is this sprinkler system actually waters these roots from underneath. Once it kind of gets further in this process, the roots actually hang down like a lot longer.
Later, the team will finish building a bike generator.
So that's going to be locked in place, and as you ride the bike, it generates energy. That energy is generated through the wires, and that's pretty much how it's going to operate.
Okay. Well, with the bike, we were trying to create an energy source that will help keep the hydroponic system running
at all times. To cut back on electricity in your house and whatnot, so you won't have to worry about outstanding bills, you know, that could accumulate from constantly running the blower, the water pump, and the lights.
They're not just out working on the manual labor piece of the projects. I mean, I'll drag a lot of them to the community meetings. I think they start to learn, if you get engaged civically early on with things, that you can really impact what happens.
The fact that they're like reaching out and allowing us to have the opportunity to give back to where we, our stomping grounds, where we grew up, where we came from, and to try to help reach out to the younger crowds as well to learn something that could help them be self-sufficient. It's remarkable, honestly.
3 miles north is another organization, the Kepper Institute, which also supports young people in the neighborhood.
In some cases, it can mean life or death. In our community, sometimes it's hard to see that opportunity exists. And it's even harder if you don't have examples, tangible, feasible examples.
Diop Adisa grew up here. His parents were engineers and entrepreneurs who started Kepper Institute as a way of helping Diop and his friends learn life skills.
We would come in after school and we would spend half the time working and the other half being mentored. And this whole time they were grooming us, giving us the skill sets to do whatever we felt we would need to do in a variety of environments and contexts, and learning how to simultaneously teach ourselves.
The Institute is named for Kepper, an Egyptian deity whose name means rebirth, renewal.
Once the community saw results in us, we were the walking portfolio. So we started developing relationships with Shortridge, Broad Ripple, Manual, and then we started to mentor students through the same processes in these different schools.
At any given time, as many as 20 young people are active with Kepper, which turns their interests into life skills. Those interests include everything from community organizing, web development, computer coding, and video production.
By allowing people to have voice and buy-in to change, they become believers that they are in control of their destiny. And that's what we need. We need people to feel like this is something that I can do.
Kepper exemplifies how helping young people achieve self-mastery can lead to greater equity and opportunity. It adds to quality of life here and makes neighborhoods stronger. Back on Diamon Harjaz Street, a boarded-up house stands out in a good way. The plywood on the doors and windows is covered with giant portraits of neighbors.
That first one, about 5 days, 75 people stopped in front of that house, and they said, I like my picture up. We got stories too.
A stream of people come in and out of Harjaz' living room, where he runs a not-for-profit called The Learning Tree, focused on uncovering people's talents and gifts.
You would think by the numbers that people don't care. But you come in these living rooms and you will find out these people are organized.
Diamon says it's home gatherings like this where change and progress happen in the neighborhood.
You know, there are several houses that you can go to around in this neighborhood that can gather more people than any TIF meeting, any neighborhood association meeting, any Flanner House meeting, any of those things, and it's they here.
Jamal, who also works at Groundwork Indy, has just arrived. Diamon is an avid supporter of his work as an artist.
I didn't do anything but paint for like a living, so that was like really hard to do. And what Groundworks is, and Learning Tree as well gave me the opportunity to actually like take that skill and actually apply it. Yeah, like it's definitely changed for the better for me. Like I can't complain. It's nothing but up from here.
What is the biggest need in your community? That's the wrong question. Our biggest need is the need to be needed.
Diamon's neighbor and colleague, Keith Drizel, known as Wild Style, agrees.
You can't look at our community and look at a spreadsheet of the crime, the violence, the poverty. Yeah, we could probably use less of that. What we really need is for people to be supported in their dreams.
And supporting people's dreams is what Diamon does by inviting neighbors to converse. It's what Phyllis is instilling in the young adults at Groundwork Indy. It's what Kepper conveys by teaching youth to follow their passions. And it's why CICF is continuing to listen to the community. We invite you to visit CICF.org to see professional photos of the neighborhood taken by Wild Style, along with more information about the organizations mentioned on this episode.
We are Central Indiana Community Foundation, and you've been listening to For Good. If you liked what you heard today, we hope you'll subscribe to For Good on your favorite podcast app. And while you're there, don't forget to leave us a review. Join us next month for more stories about passion, purpose, and progress in Central Indiana. For Good is brought to you by Central Indiana Community Foundation in partnership with WFYI Public Media. To learn more about how CICF is changing our corner of the world for the better, visit cicf.org. Thank you for listening.